I'm an associate professor of emergency medicine at Brody School of Medicine. I'm a member of the North Carolina Delta State Steering Committee. And as I mentioned, I'm representing on behalf of the State Steering Committee. Dr. Beth Morocco from Chapel Hill was going to present, was unable to attend today. But it is my pleasure, and as a member of the steering committee, I have been involved with the project for quite a while. As Margaret mentioned, the funding goes to the state coalitions against domestic violence, and the North Carolina Coalition was founded in 1981. We have 100 counties. Not every county has its own individual domestic violence program per se, but we do have a largely rural state, but there are, of course, shared programs where one county coalition will cover several counties. So there is access to all 100 counties for domestic violence victims. The coalition does provide technical assistance, training, advocacy, public awareness, education, and other activities at all levels of primary prevention, secondary prevention, and tertiary prevention of intimate partner violence. The North Carolina Coalition started partnering with CDC in 2002 and started funding to local communities in Chatham and New Hanover counties, and then more formally since 2006 have been working with Delta in a coordinated community response, integrating the community level, state level, as well as the national level interactions with CDC and Delta. At the state level, the state steering committee is a 35-member committee. As I mentioned, I'm one representing the medical community, the State Department of Public Instruction, the State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, Prevent Child Abuse are all agencies represented, and if we have time at the end, I have a full listing of the 35 members, so you can see the diversity of representation at the state level. And we meet monthly and develop the priorities, did a needs assessment, and identified the issues in the state, prioritized them, and then ultimately decided how we were going to proceed on the state level and also particularly in the communities that were going to participate with us. This is the cover of our 10-year plan. It's a 12-page executive summary. We introduced this at the coalition's meeting last year, May 2010. This was endorsed by state HHS. This was endorsed by the State Medical Society at a prior session. There was discussion on how difficult it is to get endorsement because that's an agency saying they stand behind the document as opposed to just supporting it. And to get the State Medical Society endorsement was pretty interesting. But we had high-level acceptance of this and endorsement of this 10-year plan. The four strategic directions we wish to focus on were education, keeping in mind that all four of these are integrated, they do not stand alone. The second one is parenting skills and relationship norms. Of course, that ties in with the education. You're looking at the community engagement on how to address these issues, and you have education of the community, education of individuals within the community, working with the local society using the socio-ecologic model. Again, society's support of the relationship norms of parenting and educational opportunities. And of course, then you have to look at prevention system capacity. Once you have come up with a plan and you're putting it out there and people want to utilize this plan, then the resources have to be there. The education has to be there. The training has to be there. If you say we've got all this great stuff and you haven't addressed the capacity issue, it's doomed to fail because it isn't what it says it is, and you don't have the resources, materials, people out there to bring your plan to fruition. So at the state level, we started looking at a lot of things, and certainly with education, we are trying to bring it to an earlier age of introduction. However, we felt there was a big gap in college-age sexual violence and IPV issues, dating violence issues. So a catalog was created of promising practices for college and university campuses. North Carolina does have a very large state university and community college system, and certainly looking at it, particularly with the state universities and community colleges, you're able to work and have influence at the state system. The faculty, the staff are state employees, so you're able to work and integrate the policies more easily. Of course, there are also private schools. This was available to all universities and community colleges, not just the ones in the in the state system. But again, looking at this and providing these suggested practices, suggested best practices, and an inventory of the policies that did exist for sexual misconduct, IPV-related policies, and again, a preferred practices for intervention at the institution, in the counseling services, in the school's law enforcement and other issues to address problems on campus and to provide education and protocols. What is acceptable behavior in faculty, in students, and staff, and resources and policies. With community engagement, of course, looking at the socio-ecologic model and community, faith community is very important. So we also felt it was important as part of an individual support system to be able to have some consistent message that is able to go out to the faith community to how do they address a problem, do they know how to recognize intimate partner violence, if they recognize it, what do they do about it? Do they ignore it? Do they know what the resources are? And give them better tools to be better equipped to address the issue. And again, looking at prevention system, we developed an inventory of the resources that existed to see how good they were, to try to recognize gaps in the system and in the partners who collaborate, and again, to try to make this available to the domestic violence providers so that they knew what was out there, even if they did not have it in their own particular community or county, they could then look and either online or go to a neighboring county for a service that they might need that they might not otherwise have or otherwise necessarily know about. And just to show you, Chatham County is the round circle in the middle. That's near the Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill area for all you UNC folks. Pittsburgh is in Chatham County, so you know it's slightly southwest of Chapel Hill. And New Hanover County is down there on the coast. The city of Wilmington is there. Chatham is a very rural county. Wilmington is about 80,000 population. It's a small city, coastal community. In Chatham County, their Coalition for Family Peace was founded in 97. Their coalition has been there much longer, since the early 80s, I believe. And their main folks were working with the faith community, again, with congregations to build healthy relationships, again, working with the faith leadership and how to encourage respectful, healthy, nonviolent relationships. And youth-focused activities. Yesterday, there was a discussion about Men of Strength and how that's been incorporated into many schools at the middle school and high school and college level. Most of the high schools, even in a small rural county, do have most. So again, young men are being introduced to how to have healthy, respectful, nonviolent relationships. This was part of the survey. I won't make you look at all of it. If you look at the olive green second column, you can see faith community, men of strength, men for family peace, and the community-based prevention are some of the main ones that have been going on, and they're going to be working on more social marketing, particularly things like radio ads. It is, even though it's near Research Triangle, it is not one of the most integrate. Again, it's a rural community. It's socioeconomically deprived community, so they are not necessarily as wired in as some of the other communities in North Carolina. So we're working with a variety of technologies. Certainly Facebook and Twitter are part of it, but again, just radio ads targeted to the community. And the survey looked at these different things, traditional gender norms, unhealthy relationship norms. What was the public's perception of these things? Do they believe DV myths? What do they think is a healthy relationship? Do they feel comfortable intervening? And they wanted to get a snapshot of where the community was and what their beliefs were. And I'll get back to that in a minute. So this was the assessment. And as I mentioned, there will be the radio campaign in particular. And these are the main areas that they looked at the community assessment. I've already mentioned some of those. What are the beliefs? What are their perceptions? So we know where they are and where we need to be and how what areas we need to address. You'll note that we have it broken down into both the entire data set and Latino respondents. North Carolina does have a large Latino population. Again, it's an agricultural area. We have commercial swine farms, chicken farms, construction industry, farming industry. So again, to be able to target the perceptions and needs in a culturally appropriate manner to the Latino community, when we put ads on the Spanish-speaking radio stations, we wanted to make sure that we were properly assessing their needs and perceptions and to proceed from there. And you can see that the main difference is that the Latino respondents tended to adhere more to the domestic violence myths. Much of that had to do with more paternal hierarchy. The man is in charge, the man makes the decision, the man can decide who the woman sees, etc. Those kinds of things. Although, again, a healthy relationship was seen, was considered important. Another thing that came up interestingly was that males in particular, but Latinos as well, tended to believe that domestic violence was mostly physical abuse, that psychological abuse, threats, intimidation, the other things, spoken violence, stalking, unless were not abuse, that for it to be domestic violence, it had to be physical. So again, certainly one of the misconceptions, one of the myths that is still firmly held and that we wanted to be able to address when we do the radio marketing as well as some, getting other messages out there to say this is also abuse, this is also unhealthy. The other program is in New Hanover County, as I mentioned, Wilmington, and they were founded in 2003, and their goals are the same as many others, a culturally diverse coalition addressing prevention through community awareness. A major part of their focus is the outreach to the faith community and intervention with youth, particularly after school kinds of things. And actually, the person on the state steering committee from Wilmington is both a minister and he does a lot of basketball coaching. So he actually is involved in both of those areas. So he has multiple points of interaction with both the parents and with the youth, which is excellent because it provides some of that continuity within the community, the recognition and respect and continuity with the families and with the youth. In addition, they do have a county workplace protocol. North Carolina's Office of State Personnel does have a domestic violence policy, basically saying it will not be tolerated. But there is the statewide policy for state employees, but having a county adopt a countywide protocol for what is and is not acceptable behavior for their employees and ensuring safety for employees who are victims of intimate partner violence is important, and their county has not only instituted one, but they do have annual trainings in it, which is sponsored by Verizon Wireless. And as I mentioned, they are implementing the primary curriculum into the recreation centers, after school programs, summer camps, basketball leagues, and a lot of the places where youth meet and interact. As I mentioned before, also training clergy and lay leaders how to discuss intimate partner violence prevention into the mission and practices of their institution, and to feel comfortable intervening with their congregants, and to discuss truth, how to establish respectful, peaceful, nonviolent interaction among their congregations. And they also have the Girls' Circle, which provides empowerment and sense of belonging for young females. So they work at multiple levels with youth, with the faith community, with parents, with the county employees. But you can see this model is very different than the Chatham County model. So even in one state, we have two models that assessed the needs of a community and are addressing primary prevention from two very different approaches. And when you look at Delta in 14 states, I'm sure the other 26 models look nothing like the two models in North Carolina, although they are ultimately going towards the same goal, but they are addressing the particular needs as identified in their areas. And now I'd like to introduce Jessica Hill, who is a CDC Foundation Fellow and is the project coordinator for the Delta PrEP project.